Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Forever Man from Eric Clapton. One of those albums from the mid-1980s by Clapton. There he is. Yes, he's saying, I still got it. Yeah, welcome back, everybody, to the big show, the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today in our third hour now. By the way, Earl will be back on Monday. And, you know, I've been filling in for Earl this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, yesterday, today. And it's been a lot of politics. You can't keep up with all the stuff. There's just too much going on. Where do you even start, right? Well, maybe it's time we take a little break from the politics, talk about something else. What if we talked about music? You know, that Clapton song is, and that album that came out in the mid-80s, as well as a few other albums from the mid-80s, late 80s, early 90s. That music is being featured by a band that's out on the road right now called Cream of Clapton. And that band, of course, Eric Clapton's not in the band, but his nephew is in the band, plays guitar. And the son of his bass player from that period, mid to late 80s and early 90s, his bass player at the time, Nathan East, his son is in this band that I'm telling you about, Cream of Clapton. And they're out on the road trying to recreate that sound that Clapton had in the mid to late 80s and early 90s, and featuring that music, which you don't often hear from those tribute bands that do Eric Clapton stuff. They're mostly more focused on the 60s and 70s material. So that's kind of interesting. A band is actually out on the road right now, and I might go see them. I don't often go see tribute bands, but it sounds kind of interesting, and it's a convenient show that I might go see. What are you going to go see? Let's, if we can, we'll take some phone calls and lighten things up a little bit. I would be interested to hear if you have plans to go to a concert this summer or more than one concert. We've got Summerfest coming up in Milwaukee. Lots of great shows booked across Wisconsin this summer and in other areas like Chicago and Minneapolis, St. Paul. And if you have plans to go see a show this summer, you want to share it with our audience, feel free to call in 844-967-2789. Or if you've seen a good show recently, I'd be interested in hearing about that. In fact, I've seen some good shows in the last few weeks. I saw Little Feet a few weeks ago. Those guys still put on a great show, and I got to talk to a couple of them after the show, and they're just really nice, down-to-earth guys who play some great music. If you're not familiar with Little Feet, I suggest you check them out. They've been putting out great music since the late 60s, and they're still doing good music today. And I would highly encourage you to go check them out. I saw the English Beat a few weeks ago. Do you remember them from the 80s? And they morphed into General Public. Well, those guys are out on the road, it seems, all the time. And probably have a chance to go see them at some point if you want to. But let's see, I did see an interesting tribute band recently called the Gilmour Project. And they focus on David Gilmour material from Pink Floyd. And that was quite a show. It was better than I thought it was going to be, since it's not really David Gilmour and it's not really Pink Floyd. But they did have a couple of incredible guitar players. One guy played with Crosby, Stills, and Nash for many years, as well as other artists. And the other guitar player was with Bob Weir and his band Rat Dog for many years. And then they had an excellent rhythm section. Kasim Sultan on bass, who played with Todd Rundgren and many others, and Prairie Prince on drums, who also played with Todd, as well as the Tubes. So it was a great show. I mean, it was nice to see their takes on the whole Pink Floyd thing. In fact, since a couple of them at least have had experience with jam bands, they really jammed out those songs, which is unusual because usually Pink Floyd material is so precise. But this was a lot more loose and jammed out. So if you have anything to add about music, if you have a concert you want to go see this summer that you're planning to see, that you're psyched up for, feel free to call in. Or if you've seen something recently, I'd be interested to hear that stuff. It's a Friday. Can we take some time off from the politics just for a little bit? I don't even know if we'll get any calls. Who knows? Hey, by the way, some shows I'm looking forward to going to see is what we've been talking about earlier. I mentioned that tonight is the kickoff of the summer tour for Dead & Company, what's left of the Grateful Dead band, Bob Weir, John Mayer, Mickey Hart, and others now in Dead & Company. That show tonight is in Los Angeles. Another tour that I might go see this summer is Robert Plant, you know, from Led Zeppelin. Yep, that Robert Plant with Alison Krauss. They're back together again doing a tour. Jackson Browne is on tour this summer. That's always a good show. I've seen him in Milwaukee several times over the years. Parliament Funkadelic out on the road again with George Clinton, who, what, a couple of years ago said he was done touring. He's not going out anymore. Well, he's back out on the road, and it may be one of your last opportunities to see him. There is the Outlaw Music Festival that's touring the country. The version that's out now has John Fogerty in addition to Willie Nelson and others. But there's another version of the Outlaw Music Festival. After John Fogerty drops off the tour, he's going to be replaced by Bob Weir and the Wolf Brothers. So a lot of good shows. If you have anything you want to call in about, feel free. I'd be interested to hear, and we'll see what happens. In the meantime, we can talk about something other than politics if we don't get any calls on the concerts. What about your eyesight? Do you worry about it? Do you think about it? Do you do things to protect your eyesight? I've got some information for you if you're interested. This is from the New York Times. And this headline says, "The best and worst habits for eyesight." Are carrots good? Is blue light bad? Experts weigh in on 9 common beliefs. Common things you think about eyesight. Are they true or are they false? If you, and by the way, this is by Hannah So, May 15th, this was posted, New York Times. If you were ever scolded as a child for reading in the dark, or if you have used blue light blocking glasses when working on a computer, you might have incorrect ideas about eye health. About 4 in 10 adults in the United States are at high risk for vision loss, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But many eye conditions are treatable or preventable, said Dr. Joshua Ehrlich, an assistant professor of ophthalmology and visual sciences at the University of Michigan. Here are 9 common beliefs people have about eye health and what experts have to say about them. Okay, here's the first one. Let me ask you, is this true or false? Reading a book or looking at an electronic device up close is bad for your eyes. True or false? If you said true, you're right. Reading a book or looking at an electronic device up close is bad for your eyes. Our eyes are not meant to focus on objects close to our face for long periods of time, said Dr. Zhaoying Zhu, an associate clinical professor of optometry and the lead myopia researcher at the State University of New York College of Optometry in New York City. When we do look at an electronic device up close, especially as children, it encourages the eyeball to lengthen, which over time can cause nearsightedness or myopia. To help reduce the strain on your eyes, Dr. Zhu recommends following the 20/20 rule. Have you heard about this before? Yeah, after every 20 minutes of close reading, look at something at least 20 feet away for at least 20 seconds. The 20/20/20 rule. After every 20 minutes of close reading, look at something at least 20 feet away for at least 20 seconds. Here's the next common notion about eyesight. Is this true or false? Reading in the dark can worsen your eyesight. True or false? False. However, if the lighting is so dim that you need to hold your book or tablet close to your face, that can increase the risks mentioned above and create eye strain, which can cause soreness around the eyes and temples headache, and difficulty concentrating. But these are usually temporary symptoms, Dr. Zhu said. Spending more time, is this true or false? Spending more time outside helps eyesight. Spending more time outside helps eyesight. Is that true or is that false? If you said true, you're right. Some research, mostly focused on children, suggests that outdoor time can reduce the risk of developing myopia. And Maria Liu, an associate professor of clinical optometry at the University of California, Berkeley, said Maria Liu. This story continues and says, experts don't fully understand why this is, but some research suggests that bright sunlight may encourage the retina to produce dopamine, which discourages eye lengthening, though these experiments have mostly been conducted with animals, Dr. Zhu said. Okay, so these are common beliefs about eyesight that we're going over from the New York Times. The next one is too much ultraviolet light can harm eyesight. Too much ultraviolet light can harm eyesight. Is that true or false? Well, you'll have to stick around till after the break to find out. Hey, you're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. Everybody stick around, listening to your local Civic Media radio station.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Yes.
That is wrong.
And some great old Hall & Oates in the pre-MTV days. And they were more of a blue-eyed soul band out of Philadelphia. Man, they had some great songs in the 70s. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's the Earl Ingram Show on your local Civic Media radio station. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. He'll be back on Monday. And we're trying a little experiment during this final hour of the show today, final hour that I am on this week. And I was trying to get people to call in with your plans for the summer musically. Are you going to any concerts? What concerts are you looking forward to? Have you been to any good concerts recently? And we haven't gotten any calls yet. Maybe there aren't many music lovers in the audience right now, or maybe everybody's yelling, "Stu, man, get back to the politics. What happened? We tune in so we can hear you talk politics." And anyway, I'm just trying a little experiment. Bear with me. And in addition to talking music, concerts coming up, we're also talking about your eyesight, right? I'm reading this article from the New York Times, and some of the things that we think about eyesight, some of the notions that we have, may not be correct. So we're going through these one by one and trying to figure out, are these true or are these false? Before I get back to this article, looks like we might have a caller on the line who wants to discuss concert going. It looks like Eric from Tulsa. Hey, Eric, how you doing today? Are you calling about concerts?
I sure am, Stu. I was stuck on a phone call earlier, and I was looking forward to this portion, actually. But, yeah. I jotted down a few things. I've been a concert, you know, you can't make it to all. In the last couple of years, I've been a dearth of concerts, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I can remember speaking to you. It's kind of funny that when I was a kid, I never knew the name of it, but the Romeo's Tune song. You know that song,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Steve Forbert.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Forbert. He was in concert like back in 19 or whatever, remember? And he was coming to town. He canceled for some reason. And I was actually up for going to that. And I think you were planning on going too.
Yep. That's right. You're right, man.
I think he reappeared within the last year or two. I think he came back around, but I didn't make it to the show. But
oh yeah, I've seen Steve Forbert many times, and if you ever have the chance, check him out. He's a great performer. He's got great stories about hanging out in New York City back in the 70s, and he was doing a folk thing, and of course at that time punk was the big thing, but he's got some great stories about that, and he's one of the great songwriters of all time, that's for sure. And it's funny that you mentioned that he had to cancel that show or whatever, because there have been a few times when I've tried to see him when he's had to cancel the show. It's kind of a weird thing, probably more than any other artist, except maybe Dave Mason. But I remember the first time I tried to go see Steve Forbert was back in the 70s, right when his first album came out. And there was a huge snowstorm. It was like that massive snowstorm of 1977 or whatever. And we got several feet of snow. But anyway, yeah. If you ever get a chance, check him out. Steve Forbert, Romeo's Tune was his big hit back in the 70s. What else do you have for us? Anything else?
Yeah, I'll say that song was stuck in my head for like years, and Napster finally allowed me to find it again. but anyway.
It's got quite a hook, doesn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I was like six. You know, like six or seven or whatever, right. 77, 78, whatever. And it just stuck in my head. And I was like, who was that guy? What was that song?
great tune.
I've got plans. May 28th, my wife and I are going to Janet Jackson. So we're doing that.
Oh, okay.
That was her birthday present. Kind of something that.
Oh,
you know,
nice. That's going to be a big production.
And all that. Yeah, for sure. I've never been to a big, you know, choreography show like that. So it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that'll be like going to a big Las Vegas show or something.
Yeah, for sure. Not really my ticket, but she'll love it, and I'll love it with her, so it's all good.
Yeah.
And we're kids of the 80s. And then we're going to Imagine Dragons, actually, in July for my kid. He loves Imagine Dragons, and, you know, we're going to see them at Summerfest, actually. And
Before you go on, I'm anxious to hear that, but before you go on, I saw Imagine Dragons, I guess about 5 years ago at Summerfest, and I would highly encourage you to take some earplugs, man, because it is just over the top loud, and that comes from somebody who loves concerts because it's loud music, and I've seen The Who, and I've seen the Black Keys, who crank it up to ear-splitting level. But man, that Imagine Dragons show was over the top, man. I could barely stand being there, and my ears hurt for days afterwards. So there's a little bit of advice for that on that show, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that from their concerts, but, you know, they can make some sonic sounds nowadays, so that makes sense. But and speaking of going to what's now AmFam Theater, I guess I've got kind of a jinx on singers, because I wrote down a couple performers, and one of them that I didn't write down was Stone Temple Pilots, who I first saw there back in 93, I think it was. And I saw them several times before Scott Weiland passed, and they were always a great show. But I also saw George Michael back in 88 or whatever, and NXS back in 88. And, of course, those folks have both passed as well. I've seen Springsteen a couple of times. I've seen Seeger, you know. I've seen a, you know, different things. You ever hear the band The Mountain Goats?
No, I thought I knew a lot about music, man, but I don't think I've ever heard of The Mountain Goats.
Oh my gosh, you got to tune in, especially if a Forbert, because they're kind of an acoustic band. They're kind of one guy with a backup band out of the Triangle area of North Carolina. He's also a horror writer, strangely enough. But John Darnielle and the Mountain Goats, tune in. That's something for you to listen to. A new frontier.
All right, brother. Eric. Yeah, thank you for the call. Appreciate it, man. I'm glad somebody called in with some concert stuff for us. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break, everybody. Stick around. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. to be the heart of town. Don't tell me this town ain't got no heart. You just gotta poke around. You just gotta poke around. Grateful Dead on a Friday morning. Man, that's a great tune. Welcome back to the show, The Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. He'll be back on Monday and trying to have a little fun during this final hour of the show today. After talking politics all week, I thought we'd lighten things up a little bit. Talk about concerts. Have you been to any good shows lately? Are you planning to go see some shows coming up this summer? A lot of great concerts coming up all across Wisconsin, all across the Midwest. Got Summerfest on the way. Big shows in Chicago, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, and everywhere in between. I'm looking forward myself to several shows. And in fact, I didn't even think about it. In that last segment, we played Hall & Oates, Rich Girl. And I remember seeing them in between that time that they were big in the 70s on the radio, and then they were big again in the 80s on MTV and the radio. But in between, there was a time, I guess, like around 1979 and 80 when they weren't as big. And so they were playing some small places. I saw them at a club in New Jersey on the shore. Artstock's Playpen was the name of the place in Wildwood, New Jersey. But it was, I mean, it's a big bar is what it is, but it's not a theater or anything. So they were in between their two big hits of fame. And it was cool to see them in that place. The place was packed and everybody had a great time. But that was before their big MTV days. So have you seen any good shows recently? Are you going to any good shows this summer? We do have a caller on the line. And by the way, the phone number is 844-967-2789. And we have Dave on the line from West Allis. Dave, how are you doing today? And thank you for calling in.
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. You seen any good shows lately? Are you going to see something this summer? Is that why you're calling?
Yes, that's why I'm calling. I'm going to the Hometown Foundation. I think this is the first homegrown blues festival. It's Sunday, the 21st. It's in Keewaskum. It's 10 bands, two stages. It's going to be, you know, the unique sounds of Wisconsin blues. And there's, you know, 10 artists. I'm not sure that they're all from Wisconsin. I think some are from Chicago.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds great, man. Keewaskum on the 21st of June.
21st or, at Foundry 45.
Now, are you saying the 21st like in 2 days or are you saying next month?
2 days.
Oh, okay. All right. So if you're in the Keewaskum area and you dig the blues, this might be a good place to be. Do you remember any of the bands?
Yeah, we've got... let's see, Maple Road, the Incorruptibles, they're all local bands, but I'm looking here at the lineup and I'm trying to get the names because there's some Chicago artists here. Stephen Hall Experience, Sue DeBacco, she's been in playing shows in Wisconsin for probably the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, yeah, I'm familiar with her. I've seen her before.
Yeah, yeah, she'll be there. I just can't get all these names to come up right now, but
that's okay.
I think it's relatively inexpensive and, you know, it's 10 bands, two stages, food and drink, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that sounds like a fun time going on Sunday, you said, right?
Yeah, Sunday. Yeah. And
all right.
Probably about, you know, and I guess from Milwaukee, it's probably a 50-minute drive.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great, man. I'm glad you called in to let our listeners know about that.
Yeah. One other comment.
Yeah.
I usually go to a lot of shows, but I'm a baby boomer, and the stuff available for us, and we're kind of limited on what we kind of want to see. We still want to see the 60s and 70s acts, and, you know, some of the huge acts are still around, but, you know, it's really tough. And my comment was, it seems like Summerfest is not as diverse as it used to be. And that's somewhat of a concern to me.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned that, and that's been an issue that's come up several times over the years. And, you know, the comment that they usually come back with is that they have a limited number of slots to fill, and there are a limited number of artists who are out on the road, and they try as hard as they can to get as many diverse acts as they can. But some years it works out better than others. It just depends on who's available and what slots are available to put them in. At least that's what I've always read from the people at Summerfest. And I know that some years are more diverse than others. Some years there are many, many acts that I want to go see, and other years just aren't as much. But I think, you know, it just depends on the year and what's going on. But it's interesting you bring that up. They, you know, they always want to hear what people are thinking about their lineups and stuff.
Do you think,
are you going to Summerfest?
3 days out, do you think cutting 3 days out of the schedule also limits who they can book?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, right? There's, what, 10 or so stages there. And so, yeah, that makes a big difference. Yeah. What do you think about the format, too? Do you like the format it's in now, or did you prefer the pre-pandemic format when it would, you know, be continuous for 11 days with one day off?
Definitely the pre-pandemic days, where you have 11 days straight through, except for that one Monday that they take off.
Right.
And I have not heard one excuse that makes any sense to me. Obviously, I can't see the numbers, but I think taking those 3 days out has, you know, it impacts the whole festival, impacts all the businesses around the festival. I just, you know, I don't get the this new format, and I doubt that they're ever going to return.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I hope they appreciate.
Do you like the format the way it is now?
I don't know. I'd probably prefer the other format, but I know that when it comes to working people, it's a lot easier to go to a show on the weekend than it is during the week. You know, I know a lot of people used to take off like the whole week of Summerfest and stuff, or at least a portion of it, but. Yeah, I don't know. I guess they have to decide based on what the books say as far as the bottom line numbers. You know, they have to decide which format works best for them. But, yeah, I did like the old format. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Well, nice talking to you. It's a great topic. I hope somebody else calls in.
All right, Dave. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to the next caller. It's Liz from the 262. And, Liz, do you want to talk about concerts? Hello, Liz, are you there? She might have had to drop off. But Liz, if you're listening, give us a call back. We'd like to hear what you have to say. And we're talking about concerts. Have you been to any good concerts lately? And are there any shows you're looking forward to coming up this summer? And if you have an opinion on Summerfest format, feel free to call in. Do you like the format the way it is now? Or did you prefer the pre-pandemic days when they would go for 11 out of 12 days in a row? Give us a call. Let us know what you think, 844-967-2789. And it does look like Liz from the 262 may have called back. Liz, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes,
all right.
As far as some concerts I last went to, it was the first one after the pandemic, and we went and saw Krongbin at the Stovey in Madison last year, and it was amazing. I don't know if you've ever heard of Krongbin.
Well, I've seen them. I saw them like 2 or 3 years ago down at the Summerfest grounds, not the big amphitheater, but the smaller one. And it was a great show. I love their sound. I think it's really cool what they do. Can you describe their sound for our listeners who may not be familiar with them? And by the way, the name of the band that Liz is telling you about is Krongbin. It's a strange word.
Krongbin.
Starts with a K. Yeah. Give our listeners an idea.
Yeah, I believe they describe themselves as like Taiwanese funk, and it is very funky music. I love it. I heard them like a few months before, and then they happened to be at the Sylvie in Madison, and then my husband and I went and saw them, and we thoroughly enjoyed the show, and it's just a three-piece band, heavy on the bass. But Mark Spears is an excellent guitar player. He has these amazing effects on his guitar. It was a blast. And for you to see them at Summerfest, that must have been really nice outdoors.
Yeah, so. And I don't know if it was actually at Summerfest, but it was, they were opening a show for, I don't think it was at Summerfest. I think it was like a separate concert that was at that smaller venue, not the big American Family place, but the smaller place. I can't remember the name of that place now. But they were opening for, I can't remember now, a gentleman who they've worked with, actually. It'll come back to me. Yeah, but I'm glad that you got to see them, and I would highly agree with you that they have a funky sound and a groove that's a mile wide, and you just fall down into it, and you can't help but bend your knees and shake in your hips, and it's a great sound, almost all instrumental. I don't think there are any lyrics at all, but every once in a while, you'll hear a little bit of a vocal thing going on, but it's not really words. It's like wordless vocals occasionally. Would you say that?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I was, that's exactly it. And but really funky, and the bass and the guitar, and the drummer is very good too. And I forget their names now. I think Lisa is the bass player. But
yeah, all three of them are great musicians.
And I'm excited to go to more. Of course, I would love to go see The Cure down in Chicago. We'll see how. I'm not a big fan of driving down to Chicago, and then. My husband and I are planning to go see Joe Bonamassa in Florida. Okay. This is at the end of the year for his birthday. He's playing at the Hard Rock Cafe down in Hollywood, Florida. Those are our upcoming concerts. Joe Bonamassa is a great guitar player, if you've never heard him.
Yeah, I've seen him as well. Yeah, he's a pretty flashy guy, man. He likes to stand at the edge of the stage and just go off. And I think he was heavily, heavily influenced by Eric Clapton, who he seems to be friends with. And if I remember correctly, Joe Bonamassa started out as a really young dude, like, I mean, a kid, you know, and he'd come up on stage and play with different blues artists. And now he's a grown man that goes around the world and puts on great shows.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And of course, I want to see who's playing at Summerfest. And then we hope to go see Greg Koch, our local Milwaukee guitar star, sometime, who's also he's a comedian too, but of course, he's more of a guitar player. But if you ever have seen him, he's hilarious.
Yeah, one of the great guitarists of all time, that's for sure, and always puts on the most entertaining shows. So I would highly agree with you. Greg Cox, always a good time. All right, anything else, Liz, before I let you go? We're running out of time.
Oh, okay, no, that's it then. And go Milwaukee for the local music scenes at Summerfest, too. Have a great day.
Yeah. All right, Liz, thanks for the call. You're listening to The Earl Ingram Show.
It's 61
degrees.
Seems
like everyone is...
She got a job at a local factory. Sent money back home to her family. She said, this is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong.
Yeah, this is my home and this is where I belong. It's music from Keb Moe on a Friday morning. A great song. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. This is our final segment of the big show, and I had a great time filling in for Earl this week. A lot of great calls, and I appreciate those calls. Thank you for calling in. The phone number, by the way, if you still want to get in before we're done here, is 844-967-2789. If you want to send me an email message, my email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. And I've been asking, this last hour of the show, taking off from all the politics that we've been discussing all week, all of the Trump stuff, the budget stuff, what's going on around the world, and just trying to have a little bit of fun, lighter topic, music, concerts. Have you seen any good concerts recently? Are you planning to go to some shows this summer, Summerfest, elsewhere? What do you have planned? Do you have tickets for something coming up? And before the break, we were talking to a caller named Liz, and she was telling us about a band that she loves that she had seen recently. And I thought I heard a listener yelling, "Who was that? What was the name of that band? How do you say that? How do you spell that?" I heard you, brother. Krungbin is the name of the band that she was talking about. And I'll spell the name for you. It's K-H-R-U-A-N-G-B-I-N. Krungbin, I believe is how it's pronounced. K-H-R-U-A-N-G-B-I-N. And if you want to check out something a little bit different, yeah, you got to check them out. Three-piece band. Bass, drums, and guitar, instrumental, and they have got a groove that you just fall into. So if you want to give us a call about the concerts, feel free. We'll go back to the phone lines now. We got Ken from Sturgeon Bay. And Ken, are you calling about concerts? What do you have to say?
Yes, Stu. Thank you. Did a great job filling in.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Super pumped to see in 2 weeks the King.
Say that again?
You know, you're the King in 2 weeks in Milwaukee. You know who the King is, huh?
The King?
Yes.
Elvis?
No. Yeah, are you serious? The King of Country.
Oh, the King of Country.
Yes.
I still don't know who it is.
George Strait.
Oh, George Strait, the King of Country. Yeah, I think he was celebrating a birthday yesterday, as a matter of fact. Man, that's good that you're going to see him. Now, I wasn't even aware he was coming around. Where is he playing at?
Miller or Amfram Field.
Oh, okay.
Family too. That's,
yeah, well, that's going to be great, man. Have you seen him before?
Yeah, I saw him in Columbus, Ohio 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yeah,
he puts on a great show.
Yeah, well, that's cool that you're going. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you should go see him. He puts on a hell of a show.
All right. I have never seen George Strait, but I would go. There are a lot of country artists that I would not go see. I'm not the biggest country music fan, but I have a great appreciation for the classic country music, and I would go to a George Strait show. So thank you for that recommendation. And if you're into country music, that might be a good show to go see. And I appreciate the call. Let's, before we wrap things up here, I only got a few more minutes. I was at one point before we got on the discussion about the concerts, I was talking about light, or I should say about eyesight. And we were discussing common beliefs about eyesight and are they true or false. And a long time ago, I think it was at the around 1020, I asked the question about too much ultraviolet light being harmful for your eyesight. And I said, is that true or false? And then I never gave you the answer. So if you're still waiting to find out, is too much ultraviolet light harmful to your eyesight? The answer is true. Okay. This is from a New York Times article that I had on hand just in case we didn't get any phone calls on the concerts. And we did get some, so I didn't get back to this article, but the answer is true. There is a reason experts say not to stare at the sun. Too much exposure to ultraviolet A and B rays in sunlight can cause irreversible damage to the retina. Dr. Ehrlich said this can also increase your risk of developing cataracts, he said. Too much UV light exposure can also increase the risk for developing cancers in the eye, the doctor said. So, although this risk is low, wearing sunglasses, glasses or contacts that block UV rays can offer protection. All right, so there's the answer. If you've been sitting on the edge of your seat waiting to hear what the response is, thought I heard somebody yelling at their radio, Stu, man, you never told us the answer to the question. Well, there's the answer. Anyway, we're almost out of time. I want to thank everybody for calling in this week. Thanks for listening. I want to thank the man himself, Earl Ingram, for inviting me to do the show this week. It was a great honor, and he's one of the great radio guys of all time, that's for sure. A legend in local radio. And he'll be back on Monday, so make sure you're tuned in, see what he has going on. And thank you for calling in, everybody that did. I hope you guys have a great weekend. And how much time do we have left, Calvin?
We're coming up on 1 minute left.
All right. Well, that about does it for me. And I appreciate all the people who called in with all the kind words, reminiscing back to the old days when Earl and I used to do the morning show in Milwaukee. Those were some fun times, and it was nice to hear from all the people that used to call me and Earl back in those days. Everybody have a great day and a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.